God's people today. So this morning I want to speak about encounters. But as we've seen yesterday here in Melbourne, MCG, a great encounter between two great football teams. But there are hundreds of thousands of people just cheering and, you know, urging their team on. And on another part of the world, we've seen another awesome encounter over in Indonesia, was it? Indonesia?
Yes.
A tsunami come crashing in on a people, and these people are being encountered by a tsunami, and we just can't imagine what the awesome fearness, I suppose, of what that would be, these people just losing their lives, the tragedy, the loss of life, the despair, and just looking at, you know, for, I think there's 380, I don't know what the latest figure was, but late last night was 384 on the site. It's just tragic loss of people, but, you know, awesome encounters of different kinds. And that's what I want to speak about this morning. I want to speak from the book of Isaiah in chapter 6 there, where in Isaiah, he enters the throne room and he has just an awesome encounter with his God. And so this morning, as we look to that and lead into that, but I just want to say as a lead up, having an encounter with God is more than a distant admiration or an emotional 5 minutes sometime in your life. An encounter with the living God, a true encounter with our Saviour, an encounter with Jesus should not just excite us, but it should change us. Amen? An encounter with God, an encounter with Jesus Christ should change us in every way and make us a different person, a better person. But looking at Isaiah, just commencing at chapter 1, just as a way of introduction to that, where it says here, "These are the visions that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. He saw these visions during the years of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, who were kings of Judah." And so we're coming into verse 6. We see this wonderful account of Isaiah. Portion of scripture is about Isaiah's cleansing, preparation for him to serve God and the call that God had upon his life. Excuse me. And it says here, commencing at verse 6, chapter 6, verse 1. It was in the year King Uzziah died. Remember that. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their feet, and with two they covered their face, and with two they flew. They were calling out to other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glories." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a filthy people with filthy lips, a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's army." Another beautiful passage continuing there. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar, and with a pair of tongs he touched my lips with it and said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed, and yet your sins are forgiven.' Then I heard the Lord ask, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to these people? Who will go for us?' I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Yes, go and say to this people." So that's a really powerful, awesome encounter where God gave Isaiah that vision that he was to enter this place, this throne room. And it's such an awesome encounter there that Isaiah experienced there. But this morning we're talking, as I mentioned, about the encounters, earthly type encounters, things that happen in our lives today. But today I want to share about about this divine encounters, spiritual encounters that we have with close encounters with our divine Lord who looks after us. We're talking about a close type, you know, when we really push in and seek the presence of God, something we probably all need to do more often, including myself. We need to just push in, get into that place and just come to that place and see the awesomeness of where God is and who he is. Amen? And so we see here Isaiah in that place. But I just want to ask the question this morning. What happens in a moment with God? What happens when a person is surprised by a divine encounter? What happens when they have a brush with the Almighty One and when one of these experiences touches a person's life? And we have said many times, you know, that we believe in a personal God. Amen. I'm sure we can all say that we are in relationship with God, amen? And that, and he is personal, and we look to him because he is part of us. He is part of us. We are part of him. And if we believe in a personal God, then we know we must be open to personal experiences and relationship with our God. If we believe in relationship rather than religion, then we just need to welcome encounters with our personal God and who we are in relationship. And I just feel that, you know, life without personal encounters isn't filling our commitment. We need to have that true relationship with our Lord God. Amen. Jesus is our Saviour, and to be able to commune with him every day. The word of God tells us to come commune with me under the wings of the cherubim, to get in that closest place, to get into the heart of God with him and to worship him. So we need to have these encounters to keep us in step, won't we? Because it's so easy to get out of step in our walk with the Lord. An encounter, I believe, an encounter with God brings an encounter with people. If God encounters us, speaks to us, communes with us, then it gives us that ability, that relationship that we might reach out to touch other people for the Lord. And to people who don't yet know Jesus, and I believe this is the opportunity God gives us in presenting the gospel. And in our everyday life, you know, I believe that it would be pretty boring, I think, you know, if we didn't have personal encounters with other people in our everyday life. I'm sure, well, many people do go through life that they're on their own and very seldom see other people. But for all of us, I'm sure we have that means of, seeing someone every day and encountering people face to face in that sense. But, just look where I was going. So, as I said, you know, because, you know, to be encountering God, and having that relationship, that way that's been open for us, that we can come to God in a personal way. And so we just need to have that personal encounter with God, you know, because this is what builds our personal history. You know, we must encounter the one who is bigger than we are. Amen? We must look to God because he is our strength, our refuge, our fortress, and him we trust. So we look to him for that everyday help and that, you know. And we just need to do that in every possible way that we can have an encounter with the Lord, to just push into him and to pursue him until he just leaves a really indelible mark on our lives. You know, that will have put a stamp on us forever, forever, that, you know, the Lord would be able to say, you are mine and we are his, or the other way around. But just looking back, and then you see back in the life of Moses at the burning bush, great Old Testament characters, Jacob at Jabbok, where he wrestled with God, Gideon, who met God through the angel of the Lord and in at the wine press as he was threshing out wheat. But today I want to look at Isaiah as he meets the Lord in the throne room, and a wonderful encounter. And again, if you want to have an encounter, if I want to have an encounter of God, then we have to position ourselves, to position ourselves to experience that experience that God has for you. Amen? For you to position yourself for a divine encounter. We have to be in that place. No, to be in that place where we will, first of all, where we'll hear, where we will receive, and what God is bringing, you know, toward us. It's no good but being in a place where you can't see, where you won't hear, and most of all in a place spiritually, you know, that we're not able to receive. And I believe, you know, if we're going to be effective Christians, believers looking to serve God, you know, it has to be like the song we sing. There's no place I'd rather be than in here in your presence, Lord. That should be our heart cry, something that's, you know, I'm sure with many of the songs go through our mind, and some song will stick there and you keep singing it and repeating it. That's the presence of God, and that's what God wants for us. You know, we say we're Christians, we're this and that. Well, that's the people God wants us to be, a people that always have him, we have the Lord on our mind. Amen? And so the presence, you know, to be with the Lord, desiring the Lord, and meeting with him in the throne room, to get to that place where the Lord wants us to be. And but this morning I just want us to see the context of Isaiah the prophet's encounter. And I believe, you know, for Isaiah, it certainly wasn't a mountaintop experience. And but God encounters are not always on the mountaintop. And as we see, you know, but God will meet us in the deepest place, amen? No matter where we are, what position we're in, God will meet us there. Amen. And as I have seen, you know, we don't have to be on a spiritual high to have an encounter with God. And so this morning, you know, there may be some here this morning, that, you know, that you're on your lowest ebb. So you don't, and that's what I'm saying is, if that's you today, don't think for a moment that God's not able to meet you in your despair this morning. If you're having a downer today, God is able to meet you. Amen. I want to encourage you with that, but and it doesn't disqualify you from receiving that encounter with God. But there are so many wonderful examples, as we know, as we see, throughout the Bible, where God's servants have met with him. They've come and met with him. God has met with him. They have met with God and had an awesome, life-changing, powerful experience that come upon their lives. And again, just look at Moses' encounter with the Lord at the burning bush. Where was Moses? Come on, tell me, where was Moses? He was in the wilderness. He was in the wilderness. And for 40 years in the wilderness preceded this encounter with the Lord. Moses' heart was probably filled with disappointment. He probably felt he had missed God's call upon his life to deliver the Israelites from the Egyptian bondage. He may have felt a failure, but all that paved the way. It opened the way to this awesome engagement, as we know, how Moses met with God on the mountain. And that time, and how God, at that time, God shows up and reveals himself to Moses in such an awesome, powerful way. And I want to say this morning to us all, you know, your wilderness years that you've gone through will not be wasted. Amen? Just keep that in mind. The wilderness years that you've gone through will not be wasted conditionally if you pursue the Lord. Amen. If you continue to pursue the Lord, he will be with you. And that's the key to this morning, to how it is. You know, how we can meet and have an all-compelling encounter and pursue him while he may be found. That's what the scripture says. Look and you'll find me. Seek and you'll find me while I may be found. Which we never know what a day will bring, do we? Some people, we might leave it too late. Many people, I'm sure, have, where they've probably thought, oh, I'll come and think about the things of God and the Lord and never do it and die wondering. No good. So again, I say, you might be in the wilderness today, as I mentioned before, and your wilderness years that you've gone through will not be wasted if you continue to pursue the Lord. I know in my life I wasted quite a few years. I was in the Lord, but I wasn't in the Lord. In a sense, I was there, I was going through the motion, doing a lot of things, but I just didn't have that heartfelt Jesus experience within me. I'm going into a long story, but until I recommitted my life. And when that happened and things changed, I thought, what a waste, what a waste. So this morning I encourage you, but, you know, not for us to look back, but God's brought us here this morning. And so we're all together in that vein. And like God... Excuse me. Like God did for Moses, you know, he can ignite that wilderness experience for you again today and just reveal himself as the great I am. You know, we often say that he's the great I am. And God said that himself, I am who I am. And we see him as the great I am. And the need in itself, you know, I am whatever you need. God is everything to us. God is everything for us. And he tells us again in Scripture, he will supply all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. It's about being in Christ, looking to him and pursuing the Lord. And God will meet that need, having the faith to believe that he is with us. I am whatever you need. The word of the Lord. And that's an unfinished sentence. you know, Lord God, Jehovah, you know, Yahweh is my aim. And we have to look and see who God is who God is. And see his awesomeness, his might, his power. But just coming back to Isaiah. But was Isaiah not on a high? No, rather, he was in a valley. But it's here that he sees the Lord, and as it says, high and lifted up, the train of his robe filled the temple, and this is great. It's an incredible sight, I'm sure, that Isaiah experienced this world. All these, and the earthquake and the angelic creatures that, you know, out of this world, so to speak, the seraphim and all the rest. I believe for Isaiah, it was the highest pinnacle of a spiritual experience that you probably ever had. And Isaiah, as we see, Isaiah's experience is preceded by a low. He was at a low ebb, because it says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And in fact, not only did this begin with a low, it started in a place of grief for Uzziah, a place of mourning, a place of loss, and a place of sorrow. So even in a time of grief, as we all know, we can have a God encounter. God will come and meet that need. You know, it's terrible to lose dear ones, loved ones. But we know in that place, that time, you know, God will come that needs. The scripture in John 11 somewhere says, you know, God comforts, I just forget the word, but in that the picture is that God comforts us all as we comfort others. And so here God comes and meets with Isaiah. And even in your darkest hour, during what some might call the dark soul of the night, you know, that in fact, you know, in that time of grief, of bad experiences to heaven, that's a time, it could be a time of preparation that God's coming to meet you there, and he will meet us there. And as we see, Isaiah was at his lowest ebb before this happened because his king had died. His king had died. Just remember that. King Uzziah, as we know, was a hugely successful, prosperous, and a powerful king of his time. But what we've seen with King Uzziah, he transgressed against God. He self-appointed, just a brief account, I don't want to go into the whole story, it will take too long. But what we see, he appointed himself to be a priest, and he entered the temple after being warned he wasn't allowed to carry out that duty. And the end result was he was struck down with leprosy and lived in isolation until the day he died. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 5, it says here, good thing about Uzziah here, it says Uzziah sought God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. God's favour was upon him. And so we're able to say there, or the word says, so he did seek the Lord at a time when God was really speaking through the prophet, through his prophet. But there is a principle here, isn't there, that as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered. And another thing there that, you know, it says God gave him great success. He was a high-tech king at the time, I suppose, with all the technology that available. And he's a great king. I'll just leave it at that. He'd done so much for that time. And the word says, so his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvellously helped till he became strong. The word marvellously helped, just looking at the term in the Hebrew, the same, marvellous help, has a meaning that is equivalent in the New Testament idea of the enabling work of the Spirit of the cross, you know, that to help us understand, so to speak. And just by way of an example, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that which cannot be uttered. Amen? So we've all experienced that at times when you say, Lord, I don't know what to pray, I can't find words, but the Spirit of God kicks in. And it gives us this utterance, this this tongue that, you know, we ourselves don't understand, but the Spirit does, the Spirit of God. So don't ever hold back of, you know, getting and speaking in tongues and reaching out to God, and let the Spirit of God take over your time in that way. But as we see, King Uzziah's strength became his weakness. It became his downfall. And we see he was cut off from the Lord. But thankfully for us, you know, Jesus has saved that from all from all those regulations, and the law has set us free, amen. So we can rejoice and be glad because of Jesus Christ's death and sacrifice on the cross for us, that he made that way open. And he told us in his words, you know, and we just love to say that. He is the way, he is the truth and the light, and in him we trust. And so it's just a wonderful thing. But for King Uzziah, you know, it's a hard cup to fill, isn't it? It's hard to steward success. But this is what this man had, King Uzziah had, but he couldn't carry it. He got puffed up, he proud, and all his success and wealth and everything else, and he left God out of the picture. He went and started going his own way. And as I said a moment ago, King Uzziah transgressed. And then just a bit of background there, it says, I read, in Israel, no king should operate as a king and priest. In fact, the office of prophet, priest and king were meant to be combined and given to our Messiah, Jesus Christ, our prophet, priest and king. But there we see Uzziah jumping ahead of God and taking on his own mantle and going ahead of what God had for him. But what we've seen, that certainly King Uzziah had taken his eyes off and off the enabling Spirit of God, and he put his eyes on himself and his own position. But the people were doing the same because of the prosperity that they were enjoying from the hand of God. But they forgot the hand that blessed them. And so often we do that. It's so often for us to forget the hand that blesses us. The scripture says, if you will bless God, he will bless you. Amen. So we need to keep our eyes on the Lord and look to him. And so in that, it's in the context, this context, that Isaiah, he needed to see the Lord again. Something in Isaiah had to die. In Isaiah's life, before God could do something new. And as it was said, it was in the year that his king had died, that he got his eyes off the Lord, and he got his eyes off the king and his eyes back on the Lord. And that's, it's again so much for us, that for the times we take our eyes off God and we don't trust and look to him. But we have to come back and get our eyes on God, get our focus back into being. So that's the principle of it all, you know, that the context of divine counters are not always on a mountaintop. In fact, probably more in the valley. But it's a place there where God allows us to be stripped. You know, he brings us to that place. And I believe God allows us to go through the ringer sometimes. Amen? I'm sure God allows us just to see where we are and what we're made of. But I'm saying he does it, but he allows it to happen, you know, whenever we need something to die in us. You know, something's got to be put away. Something's got to be taken out, in order that, you know, we might live a new life. But to say this morning, I'm asking you, anyone here this morning, is there something that needs to be to die within you? Is there something that has to go? Something that has to be trashed out? something that good God could do at this very moment. Putting something to rest in you right now so that you might live this new life. Your world may be crashing down around your ears today. Sometimes that's the way it happens. These experiences conspire to set you up for a God encounter. Amen. Our tough times can set us up for that very time for us, for you and me, to come and meet that encounter. An encounter that will change us forever. And that's what exactly what happened in Isaiah's life. It was a time of grief. It was a time of loss and uncertainty. He was disorientated. He was in a crisis, and it was a personal crisis for Isaiah, but it was also a national crisis for the land at that time. And looking at Isaiah at that time, you could probably say he wasn't even spiritually fit or up to the task of doing what God was asking of him. You might even say he was a backslider, yet God appeared to him. You know, we might think we're not worthy. Lord, I'm ashamed. I can't do this. I can't accept help. I don't need it, all these types of things. But that's when God comes and meets you at that critical time. But as we've seen in Isaiah, God appeared to him and met with him, and it's such an awesome encounter because something needed to happen. Something needed to die. Something needed to be born. And Jesus said that God is always at work. Amen. And Jesus said of himself, I am at always work. And that should encourage us to know that Jesus, that the Lord is with us every step we take, every breath we make. And he is with us. And he says, I am always at work. The Lord never slumbers or sleeps, not like us. We love our bed and a bit of rest time, me time, all that sort of thing. But that's not on the Lord's mind. He's always with us. He's always at work. And this new thing in Isaiah's life, the old had to die. And I'll say it again, the old had to die. And so that Isaiah could encounter God in a new way. And Isaiah had an all-encountering, empowering revelation from God, you know, right there in the throne where God was with him, in the midst of all this awesome stuff that was going on there. You know, Isaiah got the lot. You know, it was like a hamburger with the lot. He got everything that God had for him in all his majesty, all wonder, so many wonderful, inspiring things. And Isaiah was right in the midst of it there, just receiving it from God. That with those words that Isaiah spoke, Isaiah was in that place for the Lord, but he said, Lord, it's all over, I'm finished. I'm a man of unclean lips, I'm a sinful man, I have filthy lips, and I live among these filthy people. And yet Isaiah says here, yet I have seen the King, the Lord of the heaven's armies. God met him in that place. God met him in that place. And just to finish up, as I said, he got the lot. And I believe that was just one of the greatest Bible encounters we can sort of read off in the Lord's Word today. Isaiah was able to say, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. High and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. And again, You can see what God can do in a moment of time. You know, God can change our circumstances because God is with us. And I say this morning, don't give up. Don't give up hope on things. All it takes is a moment. and everything can change. And as you see, the key thing, it was Isaiah's confession. I am a man of unclean lips. And when Isaiah spoke that, you know, the heavens just seemed to open up further and further, further. And Isaiah had that cleansing. And God was able to call Isaiah, say, "Here, Isaiah, I want you." And Isaiah was able to reply as the Spirit of God came upon him. "Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to go to this people? Who will go for us?'" And we all just love Isaiah's reply. He said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Yes, go and say to this people." And that's what all God is asking of us, that we will be available, that we will be an Isaiah-type people, a people who heed the call, who have heard the call, but heed the call, and to just to do the task that God gives each one of us. Maybe all different things that God wants us to do, but whatever is that, say, "Here I am, Lord. I will do it for you." Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we just bless you and thank you, Father. Lord, that we're able to come around your word, Father. We just thank you, Father, for this wonderful, challenging message that the book of Isaiah brings us, Father God. Lord, a man who's used mightily for God. But Father God, for that Isaiah call that you placed upon him, Father. Lord, you said, and asked, "Who will go for me?" And Lord, let that be on each one of our hearts this day as you speak to us, Father. Lord, as you put a challenge to someone, we will be able to say, "Yes, Lord, I will go. I will attend to that task. I will do that job. I will go and speak to that person. Lord, I will continue to reach out for you." So, Father, again, we just thank you for coming together, and that your hand is upon our lives, Father. We just thank you for the blessing and favour that you bestow upon us, Lord. You continue to meet our needs, Lord, and to be able to live a life for you, Father. So we just bless you and thank you this day in Jesus' name. Thank you for listening and for patience. I may have gone a little bit over. But just this morning,